one woman I'm really inspired by, her name is Kendra Scott, and she created Kendra Scott Jewelry. She obviously has a much larger company than I do, but she basically built it by just, you know, creating the jewelry and the rough ideas and then trying again and again and again until she got investors. And then once she got to that point, she grew her business very far. I would say it's mostly women like that that inspired me to even start this. And then from there, I kind of just taught myself through what other people have been kind enough to share for free on the internet.
Welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable middle and high school entrepreneurs building real businesses that solve real problems. Every founder we speak to has received a $1,000 Formidable Fellowship grant. It's not equity, it's not debt, just a bit of inspiration capital to say keep doing what you're doing. If you're a student entrepreneur, we'd love to support you too. Just visit formidablefellowship.org to apply for a grant. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you believe in empowering young builders, consider supporting our mission. All contributions are tax deductible. Now on to the conversation. All right. Hey, everybody. I have a formidable entrepreneur here today with us, Julia Mason. Julia, do you want to introduce yourself? Maybe tell us your name, where you go to school, what grade you're in.
Hi, I'm Julia Mason. I'm a sophomore at High Technology High School in New Jersey. I'm also an athlete part-time.
Okay, cool. Oh, nice. You're in Secaucus, New Jersey, right?
No, I'm in Lincroft, but I live in Rumson.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, I've heard really great things about that school, so I want to dig into that later. Cool, and tell us about your business, you know, maybe the name of it, what do you do, and then give us a sense for how big it is, maybe how much revenue you did last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I am the owner and creator of Coastal Nails, which is a custom press-on nail business that operates completely virtual. And in the past year, I've made roughly $1,500.
Okay, cool. That's amazing. All right. So this is a market I know nothing about. So I'm going to ask some probably quite inane and stupid questions, but I'm excited to dig in. So let's walk through how did you start this business? Like, how did you know this was a need? And how did you start making the product? And I don't know if you can show us the product.
I have a set on right now. So they are a little grown out. Ignore that. But basically, a couple years ago, probably when I was in roughly 7th or 8th grade, everybody around me always got their nails done. So I went to go try it out. And it was over $100 for a nail set that was pretty basic and didn't even last more than a week. So immediately I was like, whoa, I think I could do better. So I started doing nails in 8th grade. And at first I didn't do press-on nails. But then I realized that not only did they not pose as many health risks just because of, like, it's a lot less UV exposure, but also press-on nails are a lot more marketable to people from, you know, more than just your immediate area, since you're obviously not operating on the actual person. So I also go to a STEM-focused school and there's no art program. So as a pretty artistic person, I realized that I wanted to do something just to be able to express myself outside of school. And this is a really good way for me to do it.
Okay, cool. All right. There was a lot in there that I want to unpack. So in 8th grade, you start doing people's nails, right? And so is that, again, sorry for the dumb questions. Like, when I think of a manicure, is that what doing somebody's nails means, or what does that actually mean?
Well, in 8th grade, I mostly did it on myself, and I did nails on a couple of, like, close friends and family. But I did basically the whole process where you put on fake tips, and then I lean heavily on the artistic side of it. I know some people like the more simple sets, but personally, I like the really creative ones. So I mostly worked on just getting my painting down because it's pretty difficult to get such intricate details. And yeah.
Wow. All right. It's starting to come together. So you're basically like painting on somebody's hand. And so each thing is like a custom piece of art.
Pretty much. I mean, okay. It's a little hard to show, but for this one,
right?
That's like, you know, a duck, and then that's supposed to be a bee, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. But all right. So you have this really tiny canvas that you're drawing these pretty intricate things on. That's cool. Okay. So you started doing nails, and that sounds like kind of how you got good at it, when would it turn into a business?
So, I mean, throughout my whole process of doing nails, every time someone saw them, they would say, oh my God, do my nails. But that poses a couple of problems just because, you know, it's a lot of time just to do them on a person versus do them as press-ons.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I might be a little bit crazy about this, but I'm scared of doing nails on someone and accidentally making them sick or something just because of like the disinfecting standards. But then I realized that, you know, I wanted to share my ability to make nails with people that weren't just immediately friends and family. And also I wanted to give other people a chance to have nails that were not hundreds of dollars for something that, you know, isn't even really that creative. So I basically realized that if I could find some way to market, you know, press on nails to my demographic, which is primarily young girls and, you know, I don't want to say people who aren't, you know, middle-aged, because I have had people that are on the older side buy nails from me, but it's a lot of like college students, middle schoolers, high schoolers, and, you know, that rough demographic.
Okay. Okay, cool. And so, because what you hit, you actually did something really interesting here, which is you realize like a nail business is sort of hyper local if you're doing it, right? And you figured out, well, in order to actually, if I want it to grow, I can actually do kind of like a, you know, an online or a mail order nails business. So what made you see that? Did you see somebody on YouTube doing this? Did you like talk to a mentor? Were you in a business class? Like, because that's it's a really profound insight. I'm curious, like, where did that come from?
So I never really had any mentorship or like a specific person, but I did see some accounts on TikTok where, for example, one is called Ali Cool Cat. I'm sure you won't know who they are, but there are a lot of people who have done similar ideas of selling press-on nails or selling nails to a larger audience. And another one is V Shui Rai. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but they both are much older, but they have similar businesses where they are able to sell to, you know, large demographics. And I realized both in part that I didn't want to only sell to my immediate area, but also that TikTok specifically, not only do a lot of young girls use it, but it's a lot of people from a lot of places. So I've had interaction from, you know, people across the world. I've had people in like Saudi Arabia ask for nails. So it was definitely nice.
All right. So you got good at painting nails. Then you realized you wanted to kind of do this sort of pivot in the business. You know, walk me through, how did you learn how, you know, where did you get the nails that you were going to paint? And like, how'd you figure out what were the right quality was? And there's a lot of like things you probably had to figure out before you could just start mailing them out to customers. So how did you problem solve all that?
Well, so it's definitely like an engineering process almost. I will say probably half of it was done just before I even came up with the idea when I was doing my own nails. In terms of like quality, it took me a while to find out how I could do nails to make sure they were durable and, you know, actually stayed on. Once I got that, it was more of a problem of how am I going to make this and translate it into a press-on nail. So it took a little bit of trial and error, but I realized that most, if not all, of my supplies can be bought off Amazon. And, you know, there are deals and there are ways you can get products for a good price. And then basically I take plastic tips, I custom shape them to the customer's nails. And then basically I reinforce it with a certain type of gel, like gel polish, that makes it so that they're very strong. I've never had a nail break on me, like in all of my time wearing press-ons.
Okay, cool. And so you buy the tips off of Amazon or other sites. Where did you get the initial startup capital to sort of buy your initial stock?
So it was a mix between, I had a lot of nail supplies that I got for like Christmas and stuff from my parents. And then also I realized myself, like, if I want this to be something I'm like actually supporting, because I never wanted this to just be, you know, a little like side cash. Like I wanted this to be a real business that I could grow. So I actually do have a job. I'm a hostess at my local restaurant. So I used some of my money I was earning from there and I invested in, you know, like envelopes, bubble mailers, and then just some products that I knew I would need to be able to sell.
Okay, great. So you had sort of a traditional job getting paid hourly. Mm-hmm. You took that, you invested in this business. are you continuing to work that job, or now mm-hmm. that the business is doing well, you're like, I don't need that job anymore?
Well, I mean, it's a little weird because I don't work that much in the school year anyways, just between academics and sports. I currently do still have the job, but I am relying on, or hoping to rely on, my business in the future, just because I think I myself can see a trajectory where I can grow this business more than I could grow my job.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. All right. So I think one of the things when we talk to entrepreneurs that they get most intimidated by is, how do they get that first customer?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'd love to maybe, if you remember the story of, you know, now that you've got,
I do.
you know, this product that you can give to other folks and they don't need to be kind of in front of you, how did you get your first customer?
Yeah, my first customer is actually a really fun story, because basically I created my TikTok account. It was pretty rough at first, I'm not going to lie. It was a little bit of like what you would imagine a rough draft is, but in a TikTok account. But, you know, I drew up my logo, I posted some videos, and I just kept posting them more or less until eventually I made a set for my friend. I wouldn't really consider it first customer, but after that set went wet. After that set went viral, and by viral, I mean, I think it got like 70,000, 75,000 wow. likes. So I got a lot of interest, but the problem is that because I hadn't had any real customers before, it wasn't interest of people really looking to buy, just interest of people like, wow, what you're doing is so cool. So this girl from Florida contacted me and she said, hey, I really like your nails. I'm actually interested in buying one. And it was a long process. We worked together for probably a week, because we custom made her design and we sized her nails and everything. But we had a really close relationship. We were talking a lot. And then I made her nails. I sent them to her. They arrived in Florida and she really liked them. And funny enough, the video I posted from her set also went, you know, I would say semi-viral.
Wow. Okay. All right. This is fascinating. So every time you give me an answer, I have like 30 more questions. All right. So TikTok. So you were like workshopping a bunch of different, you know, video formats, and maybe some of the stuff wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first one that did go viral? You know, if you look back at that, you're like, oh, the reason this went viral was because of X. Was there something that you did in that one that you weren't doing in the others that you're like, oh, like I hit a nerve in this one that the other ones just weren't doing?
Yeah. So with that video that went viral, it was a little different, because previously I had done a lot of like, you know, make a nail set with me, or maybe like just showing my nails moving. But this video was actually three pictures, and it was the inspo, the artist, and then the set. So I had it was summertime, so I had a very summery like viral audio. And sounds a little weird when I say this, but I tried to make the picture of like the artist interesting. So I had a picture of the inspo, which was like a little set I drew up on Procreate. And then for the picture, I just had one where I was like in a funky pose and you couldn't really tell which way my hand was going. And then the set was, you know, the set. It was very good pictures of the nails. So what I found was that in the comments, half of the interaction was, you know, very much about the nails and a lot of interest about that. And the other half were probably like, how did you get your hand like that? How did you get that pose? But the funny thing is that really any interaction is good interaction, because it just boosts your video. So I think that because people were confused by the picture, more people also saw the nails.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So then as you've done more videos, have you tried to like kind of use that learning and try to have some like weird element in other videos that catches people's attention and makes them like want to comment? Is that something now you continue to try to do?
Yeah. I definitely tried to have some element like that. Some videos are definitely more serious. I think the second most viral video I've posted, which I think got like 30,000 likes, that one was a like ASMR video of me doing nails, but it didn't have anything else other than nails. So a lot of the interaction on that was just about the nails. I do try to mix in some videos every once in a while that are a little bit more funky than others, but I definitely try to keep a business vibe on my TikTok and my Instagram. I will say my Instagram is almost specific or almost completely just pictures and videos about nails, however.
Okay, so it's very different what you're posting on Instagram versus TikTok.
Yeah. So for a while, I'm just starting to move away from this, from the grant money. But for a while, I operated completely off Instagram DMs. So I wanted that to have a little bit more of a professional feel so that people wouldn't be like, are you sure she's going to send me the nails? Like, what if this isn't legit? Right. I didn't want people to get that feel from my Instagram, which is why I aimed for it to be a little bit more serious.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Yeah. So, I mean, I think what's interesting, if somebody, you know, if somebody's an aspiring entrepreneur listening to this, it's like Julie is basically doing problem solving like on the fly, right? She's posting on TikTok. She's using the response as an indication of what's good or what's bad and then continuing to iterate. And then she eventually hits a nerve or hits something that works. And then she kind of like uses that as future inspirations. It's a really smart way of doing marketing, but it's just a good way of problem solving, which is great. Okay. And so then you have a TikTok shop, I guess. Is that the way you operate on TikTok?
I don't yet have a TikTok shop. There's a lot to navigate just about being a minor. But I think the way it works from what my research has said is you have to have a like standing website that you can link, which is why I wanted to win the grant so that I could get the funds to create the website.
Okay, nice. All right. So the grant money from the fellowship is going to be used for the website. And how have you made progress on that or still
working
on that?
Yeah, I do have a running website as of right now. It is, should I say the link? So it's all undercase, all lowercase, coastal nails, no spaces, and there's two Z's .com. So currently I don't have WooCommerce set up. It's like the method of paying with multiple types of credit cards. However, I do have a contact link. So if anyone was interested in anything currently posted on my website, all you have to do is click on that tab of the website, write me an email, and it'll immediately send.
Okay, cool. All right. So we're going to link to that in the show notes, but Coastal Nails, so with two Z's at the end, .com, and
yes.
Hit the contact form and hit up Julia if you're in the market for nails, which would be great. And did you build that website yourself? How did you get that website up and running?
Yeah, I used WordPress, which basically gives you a template, but from there, I built it completely from scratch.
And how'd you learn to do that?
I mean, it kind of was the same way I learned how to do nails. I just, you know, looked at how other people were doing theirs and tried to emulate it.
Okay, so a lot of like YouTube videos and stuff like
that.
It's
a little bit of a confusing website, but it worked out in the end.
Okay, that's great. I mean, yeah, you're just like problem solving like one after another, which is awesome. Okay, so you have a website and you're still working on the WooCommerce piece. Is that just like been more complicated than you thought it would be, or is that
not
coming?
Specifically, it's mostly that I have to register it under my father. So it's just that.
Cool. And so maybe I should have asked this earlier. You know, you've got this like very clearly like entrepreneurial instinct. Where did that come from? Is it parents are entrepreneurs? You took a really great class in school on entrepreneurship. You love Shark Tank. Like, where did this come from?
I mean, I wouldn't really say it was any one person or thing. I didn't really have any entrepreneurial classes. And my parents aren't entrepreneurs. However, I think just with like the age of social media, I've seen a lot more, you know, videos and posts about people who have created a business from the ground up. And specifically a lot of women who have done it. One woman I'm really inspired by, her name is Kendra Scott, and she created Kendra Scott Jewelry. She obviously has a much larger company than I do, but she basically built it by just, you know, creating the jewelry and the rough ideas and then trying again and again and again until she got investors. And then once she got to that point, she grew her business very far. I would say it's mostly women like that that inspired me to even start this. And then from there, I kind of just taught myself through what other people have been kind enough to share for free on the internet. But I think also my parents have supported me every step of the way. So even though they didn't inspire me to start it, they've definitely encouraged me to keep going.
Okay, that's amazing. Yeah, Kendra is just a killer entrepreneur, which is great. And then yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you have so much access to information with YouTube, especially where you can learn stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think I constantly tell folks that I think Gen Z is going to be like the most entrepreneurial generation ever because, yeah, you guys just have amazing resources to dig into. Obviously, you know, not everybody does what you've done with those resources and actually builds the business. So kudos to you on that. I'm curious, when you think about school, you know, how much of the things you've learned in school have been helpful in your business?
So I would say a lot. And I think that's partly because just knowing how to navigate this type of situation where you're kind of on your own has definitely come from, you know, just every class I've taken, I've had supportive teachers. But I also do go to an engineering school right now. And because of that, a lot of the focus, at least in freshman year, is, you know, the design process. How do you go from the beginning to the end? But you have to test it and you have to solve problems. And there's all the criteria and the constraints. And I think that just knowing how to apply that knowledge has helped me tremendously because, you know, for one of my nail sets, I made it and it was too flimsy. So I thought back to the start and I was thinking, how can I fix this? So that's how I came to the idea of using, it's called builder gel, to enforce the nail just to make sure that it doesn't break.
Okay, got it. Okay. And so in school, you're taking things like design thinking and other kind of classes like that that help you understand how to break down problems and think through mm-hmm. these things. Okay, cool. Actually, can you, because I think you go to a unique school, can you tell us a little bit about your school? Like it's a public magnet school, is that right? Or
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Yeah, so I think it technically is considered a vocational school, but it is test only. Like you have to test and actually make it in. So High Technology High School is for engineering, and it has basically every branch of engineering touched on. And then in junior year, you're allowed to specialize through an elective between biomedical, civil, and then I want to say computer and like circuit software engineering, maybe. Not exactly sure about those ones. But from the beginning of freshman year, they're very focused on making you succeed in whatever you want to do later in life. So I know in freshman year, probably my most memorable class was Intro to Engineering Design, where the whole year you spend your time learning how to do engineering drawings and how to create products. And then at the end, you have to create a product and design a product that will actually fix, you know, some type of solution. So for me, it was like, I think arthritis and opening a liquid dish soap bottle. However, there's a lot of classes that are really interesting like that. This year, sophomore year, I took research practicum, which means that you have to create your own research project and do it from scratch. So I worked on finding out how you can treat staph infections with holistic remedies. But I think in general, it's just a very challenging environment, but it's also a very encouraging environment. Nobody wants you to fail, but it definitely requires some work to succeed.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with it and I know it's a demanding school. So how do you balance that with your business? Like how much time are you spending on your business every week? And maybe spikes at certain times, but just on average, what do you spend on the biz?
Say somewhere between 5 to 10 hours every week. It really depends on what the immediate demand is, because every week I'm trying to push out a video. Some weeks I don't get to it. Some weeks when I have someone specifically expressing demand, I work a little bit more. And then, you know, just recently, because of my website, I've been working, you know, at least probably 2 to 3 hours on that. Just, I want to make sure everything is smooth and professional so that people get the best experience. And because of that, I do need to balance it, but I definitely don't think it's impossible.
All right. So, Julia, you are an athlete. You go to a demanding high school. You're spending, let's call it 10 hours a week on your business. So what, if anything, do you think that comes at the cost of?
Well, I think I still stay social. You know, I still spend time with my friends, and I don't think I've sacrificed that aspect of my life. However, I will say that, you know, sometimes I like find myself having a little less downtime. I'll talk to someone and they'll say, you know, I spent this amount of time just kind of lazing around over the weekend. And I'm like, gee, I wish. But I think the difference is that I do enjoy being busy and I enjoy doing what I'm busy with right now. It's not something that I'm forcing myself to do. And it's also not something I find myself, you know, like fearing or being annoyed at. So it definitely comes at the drawback of, you know, relaxation time. I just don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
Okay, cool. So you like to grind, it seems like, which is cool. All right. And so I want to go back a little bit. I should have asked because you gave such great answers earlier. You got your first customer, this young woman in Florida. Then you got another. Is it all been sort of via Instagram and TikTok? That's been like 100% of your business has come through those?
Say 100%. Like even just today, right before this, I was at the doctor's for like my physical, and my doctor followed my Instagram because she saw my nails and she was like, I have a younger daughter who really wants nails. So definitely having, like, I'm basically a walking advertisement at this point.
Right.
So that has definitely gotten me some local business. I've had like friends and, you know, extended friends of friends of friends. But the majority is definitely from my social medias. And so that ranges from, I've had multiple customers over in California, and I've had traction over in like Britain and like, you know, those countries.
Okay.
But
cool. And you mentioned pricing, you know, you said versus, I think, going and getting your nails done, which is like $100+.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you charge and how did you come to that pricing?
Yeah. So I charge basically as like a baseline. I charge from $30 to somewhere around like $75, excluding shipping. And it completely depends on the design. So I've never sold a set quite $75 yet, but I think the majority, or like the average, is roughly around like $50 or like $45. I came with the pricing because my biggest goal has always been making sure that this isn't some luxury good. I know that nails, you know, they really are a luxury. They're not necessary, but I know that, like, as a young girl, I've sometimes felt the pressure where, like, you need to fit in, you need to do what other girls are doing. And a lot of times that does include nails. So I wanted to make sure I was always competing with the salon prices. And I wanted to make sure that I would make a revenue, but the customer would also be getting something they can't get anywhere else. So I do factor in the price of each nail. And then I depend my pricing based on how intricate the design is. So, like, my time and, you know, the amount I would be paying, getting paid for that time, is the rest of the product.
Okay. And so what separates the $75 product from the lower $35 product? Is that just a function of the intricacy of the artwork?
Well, so it also depends on what products I'm using. I think that goes to say, you know, more expensive products are going to lead to a higher cost. So my $30 products are very, you know, basic. You'd go to the salon, they'd probably charge you $100 if that's like the lower end of it, at least where I live. So the $75 sets would be, you know, they'd be long, they'd be intricate. They'd also definitely be designs I'm creating, because that is part of my time too, is, you know, drawing up the designs. And then on top of that, if you were to ask me where I maybe have to custom buy a gem for you, or if I have to learn some specific nail technology, I will do it. That's not the question. It's just, you know, it might cost more than just normally, you know, a gel and a top coat, which the other sets are going to be used. So that will factor into the cost.
Okay. And how long, you know, on average, does it take to do a set of nails, which is, you know, 10 fingers, I guess, is a full set? Or do you just do one hand?
I do 10 fingers.
Okay.
So
okay.
For the set I'm wearing right now, this is definitely a little bit more intricate. It probably took me an hour and 45. And then for like the very simple ones, that can take me anywhere from like 45 to an hour, maybe even less. And, you know, the $75 sets, those would be the ones that take hours.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And I think you said something earlier where you kind of have to fit the nail to the person. So they're not there in front of you. So what do? They send you a picture of their hand and you kind of like guesstimate? Or do they have to give you measurements?
That I don't do measurements, just for the reason that I know that's what a lot of other, I mean, maybe not a lot because there aren't a lot of these types of businesses, but the majority of other press on nail businesses, they have you send in picture or send in measurements of each nail. I find that just because sometimes people don't know exactly how to measure, that's not perfect. And also what a lot of companies will do is they'll use those measurements and give it a tolerance. So they'll say, if you're between this amount of inches and this amount of inches, you're a size small. But that's not super accurate. So you might end up getting a size small and it's the closest to your sizing, but it's still not perfect. And with that can not only come pain, because if it's too small, it's hard to force on, but also it pops off a lot easier if it's not the right size. What I do is I ask the customers to send in two pictures of their hand. So one like this, and you put a quarter right on top, and then one like this, and you put a quarter right here. So what I will then do is I'll take my phone, put a quarter on top of it, size it to scale until the quarters are even, and then I can use my tips that I own and press them against each nail and find out which ones are going to fit.
Oh, that's dope. How did you figure out that hack? That is so smart.
I saw someone try a very similar method where they put a ruler next to it. And I just realized, you know, sometimes those things get warped because a lot of times if you're using a measuring tape, they have like a little bit of a curve.
Yeah.
So I was like, what's one object that everyone is definitely going to have?
Yeah.
100% going to be in every house. Okay. And I'm not going to have to worry about that.
Okay.
And I was like, who doesn't have a
very,
quarter?
Very, very smart. Okay, cool. That's cool. All right. So you do this custom work. And so it sounds like every single product you deliver is custom.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So I'm curious, I'll give you like, as not a buyer for myself, but as somebody who like likes business, I think two things that are interesting, and I'm curious if you've thought about them. One is, how long do these things last usually?
So that's my favorite part about them. They are completely reusable. The one I've had, you can probably tell from how grown out they are, but I've had this set since before, I want to say like January 3rd. It might be a little later. I can check my Instagram for the timestamps, but it's been roughly a month and they have not budged or fallen off.
Okay.
But the cool part is that once I take them off, all you need to do is pop them back on. They're reusable.
Wow. Okay, cool. So how many people repeat purchase then? Like of your customers today, are a lot of them second buyers or are they mostly all first time?
I've had a handful of people who are second buyers. Most of them are first time buyers. The people I do see repurchasing are usually getting it for like an event. Maybe it's like their birthday and they want a specific set. The good thing is that I can do, you know, very much artistic work that if you were to go to just your average nail salon, they wouldn't be able to do. So if you want something maybe customized, like say you're going to Disney, it's probably a lot easier to bet on me being able to do some artwork for you than it is to go ask your salon because they might just say, sorry, we can't do that.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, I just wonder, like, can you give people a bundle, right? Where it's like, hey, you get three, right?
Yeah.
And then you get the cash up front, and then, you know, they'd be at, like, you know, whatever. In 6 months, they can come to you and take advantage of the other two, maybe, that they didn't get. And have you toyed around with any other sort of, like, packaging and pricing options?
Yeah, I've definitely thought about the ideas of bundles and, you know, different types of discounts. I've never implemented them yet because the majority of my sales were over the summer, since that's when my account was getting the most traction. I was posting the most consistently and also I had the most free time. I didn't do any discounts at that point because I thought it was more advantageous for me to bet on people buying one time and boosting my, you know, business, because a lot of these people were buying very seasonal sets. They wanted a specific summer set, or they wanted one for, you know, like back to school. And it wasn't really, I asked a couple of people, you know, are you interested in buying two sets? And they were just like, no, I just want this one. So I didn't release any discounts at that point. But going into the new year, I have been definitely thinking about, once I get everything up and running, like my website's completely to go and everything, I do believe I'm going to do some, like, you know, buy two, get one half off maybe, or something where it's like, if you're a first-time customer, you get this amount off, things like
okay.
that.
Okay, cool. And what about for big events? Like, you know, I don't know, with the Super Bowl coming up, like, you know, could you just, I guess I wonder, do people ever ask for like similar requests? Then you're just like, oh, like everybody seems to want the Kansas City colors. I'll just come out with a set and, you know, anybody can buy this for cheaper. I don't know. Has that ever been something you've ever heard or thought about?
Yeah, it has. If you were to go on my website, you would actually see that I have some showcases of nails that have gone specifically either viral or been very frequently requested. What I found is that I had a couple of sets that were extremely well liked and multiple people were asking for them over and over again. So what I ended up doing was just, you know, kind of knocking them out all in one go, because, you know, once you're in the grind, once you're in the rut of doing the same design, it's not very hard to replicate. I do find there are always people who want something customized, but especially depending on the season, there's a similar theme I think a lot of people go for.
Okay, cool. It sounds like you do really good work. I'm curious, have you had any challenging customers where maybe just their expectations were different than what you were going to deliver them? And I'm curious, how did you deal with them?
The most challenging things I've come to are not really issues of designs and mostly are just issues of pricing, because early on I found that, I think because I was 15, a lot of people kind of expected to be able to bargain down the price a little bit. They'd say like, I have $10, take it or leave it. And I'd be like, sorry, leave it. But that was definitely the most challenging part. I think in terms of design, I'm very open to working with anybody for anything. Like, I always send them a picture of, you know, me drawing up the actual design before I start making it. So if they're like, oh, I don't like that one finger, I'm like, perfect, let's change it. So I've never found anybody that was too difficult to, you know, deal with. I have had some people that are very much all over the place. You know, one day they want one set, the other day they want another. Mm-hmm. But I'm still willing to work with them.
Okay. You know, you've done a bunch of problem solving, whether it was building the website or figuring out what works on TikTok. I'm curious, as you've been building, have you made any kind of mistakes? And, you know, what were they or what was it and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, so really the only mistake I can think of was that there was a period of time where I had a lot of traction. So I was trying to get all these orders out really quickly. And I was thinking, every time before I applied the builder gel, remember when I mentioned that makes it stronger, I would file the nail so that it could stay on extra well. So I was like, oh, well, what if I don't need to do this? So I think for like two sets, I didn't file the nail before putting the builder gel on. And I think both customers actually ended up chipping their nails because of it. So what I did was I ended up sending replacement nails to both of them. And from then on, I, instead of filing the nail with like a nail drill, which is what I've been doing, I started using this thing called a buffing block, and that was a lot quicker, but it still did the same thing, and the nails don't chip anymore.
Okay, got it. Great. Okay, let's go back to maybe some of the people that you admire. I think you mentioned some folks initially. You know, if we could get them in a room and, you know, you could get a piece of advice from them, you know, yeah, who would you want to speak with and what would you want to ask them?
Well, so one person that actually doesn't really have anything to do with nails, but she is a very big influencer. Her name is Katie Fang. She went from, you know, an 18-year-old in Canada to living in like a sky-high, you know, like apartment in New York City. She is very famous, very popular, and she gained a lot from just being able to basically go viral on TikTok. What I would ask her is, not anything about the nails, but more just what's your number one tip on staying consistent and, you know, basically getting traction? Because I know that consistency is key, but sometimes it's a little difficult. So I'm wondering if she's maybe like editing a bunch of videos in one setting and just posting them like throughout the day or something, or, you know, how she gets a handle on social media while still juggling everything else she would have had to do.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned Kendra Scott. Are there any other entrepreneurs, whether they're in the nail industry or otherwise, that you admire?
Honestly, I think Kendra Scott's my biggest, you know, inspiration. There are a lot of businesses that I know that I really look up to. One of them is Scrub Daddy. It's a little bit of a stupid one, but I do know that they went to Shark Tank and they were basically told like, no, that's a little weird. But clearly they grew their business to a point where it's just, it's huge. It's everywhere. So I definitely like the idea of someone being able to pursue with a business despite everybody saying no. And I really look up to that because I have not always had, you know, the most positive response. Some people are like, why would you do nails? Like, I think you could probably make more money reselling shoes or something. But I personally see growth in my business and I also see enjoyment in my business. You know, I like what I do, and I think that all the people I look up to also like what they do.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you mentioned Kendra a couple times. Like, what, obviously, she's, you know, an unbelievable entrepreneur, but is there something about her story or about her approach to business that particularly resonates with you?
I think what really resonates with me is just how many times she got told no and how many times she just kept going. Because she's been really open about it. You know, nobody was willing to invest in her at first. She would go to like small flea markets and that would be the extent of how much she could sell. And then she just kept going and growing and saying, I'm going to keep doing this. And eventually, I forget exactly how she got a breakthrough, but I think she was just selling at some event and managed to convince people to invest in her. And, you know, she is where she is today.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, you go to this STEM school and you're doing this kind of like artistic business, right? And so I'm just curious, like, have there been a teacher or two or a coach there who's been kind of supportive or who's taught you a lot that you've been able to use in your business?
I think there isn't someone who taught me specifically like the artistic aspect or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I do have my freshman biology teacher. His name's Craig Queenan. He's been really helpful throughout this whole process because he basically was the one who told me, like, go for it. I brought up the idea. I was like, hey, like, I was thinking of doing this over the summer. He was like, do it. Like, you should. And, you know, even today I was talking to him. I showed him my website and he was like, look at how far you've come, because I went from someone with the thought and the concepts of a business and now I'm someone with her own website. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, that's awesome that he was so supportive. And so now as we look out, looking forward, right, where do you hope to take this business? You know, if you could, I don't know, let's pick 5 years as the window, but you pick another one if you want. But like, how big would you like this to be, and where do you see it going?
So the thought of growth for my business has, I think, two aspects to me. It's how big of an audience can I reach, and also how many people can I get involved? The tricky part for me is how many people I can get involved, because obviously this is such a custom process and it's so specific that I can't just say to somebody, you know, do what I do, because that's not how it works. However, if I could find people, or if people could find me, that are interested in what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, and I think that not only do they show potential, but do they show the willingness to do the job? Because to some extent, you know, improvement is going to happen regardless. So if you're willing to put in the effort to get the improvement, that's what I would look for. In 5 years, like, my dream would be to have a website that works not only for the US, but globally, and that has, you know, audiences seeing all social media accounts that are, you know, consistently interacting with them. And I'd even love to have employees, whether they were American or not, because I do think that would be one challenge to overcome, which is just the bounds of, you know, domestic versus international. But, you know, in 5 years, ideally, I'd just like to have a company that I could say to someone and they'd be like, wait, I've heard of that. Like,
okay. All right, cool. So we're going to have Julie's going to have like a global nail empire in 5 years, which is awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think if there's anybody listening who's a WordPress guru who can help Julia out on the WordPress side, definitely reach out. I think we'd love to get her some help on that front. She's obviously taken it quite far on her own, but she's running a business, going to school, doing athletics as well. So a bit of reinforcements there would be amazing. And yeah, I think, like, you know, you hit something, you hit the nail on the head. Like, you're in a services business. For this to scale, you have to figure out how to work, you know, on the business, not in the business all the time.
Exactly.
And so, you know, maybe it's those lower end $35 designs, you know, maybe you can train some other people up on doing those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then to some degree, Julia, you become the special person that if somebody wants you to do their thing, they got to pay the super premium. So that's what we got to work towards. Okay, amazing. Well, no, really just remarkable problem solving, really cool market, just everything top to bottom. You're a really awesome, formidable entrepreneur. So this has been great. Again, just remind people where they can come find you, website, Instagram, TikTok. Just kind of tell us all those and then we'll put them in the show notes as well.
Okay, so you can find me on TikTok at Coastal Nails with 2 Z's. And you can find me on Instagram at coastal.nails with 2 Z's. And my website is coastalnailswith2Z's.com.
All right. Remember the 2 Z's, everybody. But yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Julia's everywhere and go find her. And if you are in the market for nails or you have somebody in your life who needs to look good and have really cool nails that are personalized, please reach out to Julia through one of those channels. And, just congratulations. Actually, and let me close my sort of final closing question that I'm trying to ask everybody is, some young entrepreneurs listening to this is going to be inspired by you and what you've built. What's one piece of advice you'd give to that student kind of who has a business idea but just hasn't taken the plunge and started yet?
I would say don't doubt yourself 100%. Sometimes it might seem outlandish. Sometimes it might seem like there's no end or beginning in sight, and you might just think, what am I even doing right now? But I think if you keep going with it and if you're actually willing to put the effort in, regardless of whether it might be, top quality at first, you will get somewhere. And, as long as you're willing and as long as you don't doubt yourself or make yourself stop, you will be able to find success.
Okay. Amazing advice. All right, Julia. Well, thanks so much. You are awesome. Very, the embodiment of formidable. So looking forward to seeing how much your business grows. And again, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you so much. It was really nice speaking to you.